Mother Hubbard, look at all those sailors.
Holy Joseph Gordon-Levitt, snap out of your trance, man.
1, 2, 3, hello Rounders fans.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Tyrant Thomas's Boathouse!
The DK and Kara Show!
All right, hey everybody. Welcome to the DK and Car Show. I am DK, and I'm joined today by my good friend Hugo Vanderwalk, a.k.a. Kara.
Hello, what's up, guys?
And also on the show today, we have Steve Bryce, a.k.a. Commissar.
Hello.
And Jimbo Barrett.
It's always morning in the podcast.
Indeed. And we also have Ryan White, a.k.a. R. White Goose.
Hello, Rounders fans.
So.
And that's it for this year. See you next year. Whoa, what's that? Turn off your vibrator.
Somebody's texting.
Take it out of your ass.
It's probably Cook.
It's probably calling my arse 337.
Oh damn!
All right, guys, I'm gonna take it over from here a little bit. Obviously, the summer contest is well underway, and the bracket is up, and the first two matches have already been played. Does anyone know why the bracket is as small as?
Because last year we ran our matches well into the Virginia meet, and it's something apparently Endgamer wanted to avoid this year.
All right, yeah, that makes sense, because last year it had like a pause of a week, wasn't it?
Seven days off, and then a lot of the final eight were actually at the meet. So.
Yeah, we had more play-ins. There are more play-ins, so instead of there just being play-ins for the eight seeds, there are play-ins for both the seven and eight seeds, but the main bracket has been cut in half.
I think what happened was last year there was a lot of like Jimbo said, a lot of the final eight were at Virginia, so there was a lot of vote bribing going on there, a lot of sexual favors, a lot of, you know, you can sleep in the bed tonight if you give me your vote, you know, you can have the last hot dog, this kind of thing. So Endgamer wanted to put an end to that, which I think is decent, but I don't see any qualms with a field cut in half. I mean, we can go over some of the low seeds last year and how irrelevant they are. Like, for instance, Bix was a 7 seed. Silent Foe was an 8 seed. I don't even know who that is.
Who is that guy?
Shane Garner was an 8 seed. Death Shane, that old player. You know, Rachel and Dale were in the contest as 7-8 seeds. So I certainly think that cutting the field in half adds a level of relevance to this year's contest.
And speaking of which, we also see a lot of new faces that actually haven't ever been in the contest before, and it's pretty interesting to see that, actually, because some new faces joined the elite this year, and I think it's good to see some new faces in the contest as well. I'm not sure how they're gonna do this year, but Jimbo, I want your views on the freshness of this year's brackets compared to the last years, where so many people were into the brackets same year by year by year.
A lot of this year's bracket, at least from what I see, has to do with the implementation of Twitch. For example, in Goose's first match, Wotasaur, they call him, Shadow Walker. That's his real name, obviously spelled backwards. He's popular now because he streams. He has a face cam. He got Silo 104 to troll me just maybe a couple of months ago. And he's been getting a lot of PRs lately, so a lot of people have been watching him. Jimmy Bauer has stormed up into the top 10 in the ranks. He got a lot of popularity from that. He got Aztec 126, which was a second place time when he got it, and that kind of put himself on the map. Softman is a new entry this year, obviously because of his podcast. We get to hear him and give our opinions on him every 2 weeks, every fortnight. Danny Dean is a newbie. Put himself on the map last year because of his Virginia meet appearance, and he was actually a really nice guy. He gave a lot of people rides to and from airports pretty much on command. I believe Cedric is a new entry this year. So obviously, within the last 2 weeks, Cedric just took over the number one spot in Perfect Dark. That is where his popularity comes from.
How many people know this, actually?
I don't know. I put it on the front page yesterday. I don't think that's going to hit too many people either, but I would say less than 15.
I think the only other new one is Mirror Mage.
Mirror Mage. I looked right past him.
He's a new GE player.
Yeah, Philip kind of, he came around on the Twitch conversations when Ryan first got a face cam, and then when I first got face cam, he was in our chats, and then he started participating in everybody else's channel. And then he actually got himself a world record in damage in 53, and he's been on the boards ever since then, and he's actually really friendly. He's a young kid. He's either 14 or 15. He's from Singapore, but he's really friendly, really easy to talk to, and yeah, he plays every once in a while, too. I got nothing else.
Just a brief count of all the contestants in the contest. I counted 18 that actively stream in the contest this year on Twitch TV. So I think that's pretty significant. That's about half, including all the play-ins. So I think that definitely is a factor in the contest this year. It, you know, whether or not it will be as big a factor as, say, attending the Virginia meets in years past, we'll have to find out, but it's certainly a factor.
Yeah, and speaking of that, if you look at the match breakdowns for this year, the actual categories have been reworked a little bit. So I think there were some redefinitions of, like, say, old school versus middle school versus new school and those kinds of things. But we've also added a Twitch category as a voting block. So if it's in the lower right corner, if you look at a match breakdown, you see Twitch voters. And I forget exactly how Endgamer decided to define this category. I gave him some input on it. I said it should be something like at least 10 followers and at least one video broadcast done.
Yeah, but he clearly didn't stick to that rule. I actually sent him a message to include a Twitch photo block, but I didn't give him any extra information, so I regret that now, because certainly if you go over the list of the people who are in the Twitch voting block...
This means Victoria Streams is a Twitch voter.
Yes.
It was Lambidan.
Lambdan is actually...
He does stream, yeah.
He's a top quality streamer. He's very well known in the speedrun community at large.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Come, how did you end up getting on the Twitch voter block? What's your involvement with that?
I do stream sometimes. Back when I played Realm of the Mad God a lot, I streamed that occasionally. Not that anybody from the Elite really watched it, but...
So it's
and I guess since I'm just always in everybody else's streams and their chats.
Yeah, I mean, you could also take it to mean people who are active in the Twitch chats as well. I mean, people who aren't necessarily streaming a lot, but are watching a lot of the Elite streams and are active in the chat rooms and stuff like that. But that's a little bit harder to actually quantify and make a block out of that. But
yeah, some of the gems in the Twitch voting block include, but not limited to, Expert, Flicker. Who's that?
A Flicker Farm. He's a new GoldenEye player.
All right, nice. Well, welcome, Kitty Cannon.
Who is, I don't even know.
That was Cook's alternate name that he wanted me to add on there, but then he just, because he told me something like, oh, can you add this name to the board top list instead, because I'm going to use that instead of Kotsen. But then he just kept using Kotsen.
All right. Actually, so. Victoria is on the Twitch voting block. She actually has voting rights.
But it's like,
for Christ's sake.
I need Goose's input on this. He's the only one who can give us some insights. Does she vote?
I doubt it. Like, even guys like Flickerform and Lambdan, I'm not sure if Endgamer would have sent them a voting password. I really kind of doubt it. So, really, who the hell knows? You know, I did want to bring this up already, but you look at the Matus-Cedric match, and it was tied until the last seven voters. So quite clearly, the Endgamer riggage is already in my humble opinion.
Craig, all right. Yo, blimey!
Yes?
They misspelled your name on the voter block, man. You're Carathon on here.
Yeah, Endgamer has a knack for writing my name like that, or my screen name. What? I don't know why or how, but he does.
I'm surprised Endgamer fixed all the PR blocks. Like, he asked me who hasn't gotten a PR this year and who has. So I gave him my list, thinking it was just a waste of time, but he actually went through and gutted this list. I'm proud of him. So that'll be way more accurate than I thought it ever would, if you fire up the active players block.
Well, that's good, because now John and Will, who have recently submitted times, are going to be considered active players. No last names, just John and Will.
And Will.
He's like Ben from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, what's next? All right, a couple of things I've noticed about this year's bracket as well, especially if you compare it to 2012 last year. PYL was a semi-finalist last year, and he didn't even make the bracket this year. What the hell happened, and who knows?
His run last year was akin to Lucas Rosal, of course.
Yeah, or like the South Koreans on the World Cup of football a couple of years ago.
Yes.
This contest, it is a cliche in professional sports, but it is a what have you done for me lately type thing. It's who's fresh on the mind, and PYL disappeared from our chat, from the boards, from everything for a very long time, especially when Twitch kind of took over in popularity. And when people were submitting their noms, nobody thought of the poor guy. That's why he's not on this bracket. Not even in a play-in.
And ironically, he just started coming back, so he's been showing up in some Twitch chats.
I think that happens a lot, though, is people leave and they kind of come back for the summer contest. Whether it's a conscious thing or not, they kind of think, oh, it's time to be popular again, so I'm going to return to the Elite for the summer contest.
Yeah, I wonder if that actually works. It probably will to a certain extent, but not as much as people probably think.
I think a notable omission from the contest this year is no Henning. Henning was not voted in, and I think that's very interesting. You know, this is a guy who's fallen from grace more than anyone we've ever seen. He was a top four player, he was streaming, getting untieds, and then boom, and now he's nowhere to be found ever again. Not in the contest.
It's weird.
I actually didn't even notice that Henning was not in this bracket. Wow. Shows how much I remember the guy. And that is to Ryan's point. Poor guy pulled a Tiger Woods. He's just...
Yeah.
Gone.
I know. And like, the thing is, before the whole scandal, he...
Sorry! That was me.
Thanks.
All right, guys.
That was you.
Oh, my God. All right, Ryan, continue.
Before Henning's scandal, he, like, got Depot 47 untied, like, a few days before. You know, he was on the top of things. He was screaming, getting untied. You know, not many people do that. And then, boom, just completely gone from history.
Goose, can you, some of the new players who might listen to this podcast, can you, in a nutshell, kind of sum up what this Henning scandal was?
Yeah, so basically, there are a few levels on GoldenEye where you're hoping on a luck factor to complete an objective in the last few frames of your run. So you exit the run and you hope it completes. And it either does, you know, 1 in 1,000 times, or it doesn't. And Frigate and Control are two of those levels. With such levels, you never see an objective complete come up, so they're very easy to fake through video splicing. Henning had two untied records on Frigate, Secret Agent 1 Minute and Double Agent 106, and I noticed that they were both spliced, so I confronted him in the Elite with this, and after, you know, a few weeks of controversy, he finally admitted that they were faked. They were spliced videos through video editing. You know, nobody likes cheaters, so his opinion in the community was thoroughly diminished after that.
And this was the third place player when this happened.
Was he? I'm not sure if he was third or fourth.
He just made the podium.
Oh,
when he
really?
Came
okay.
back, when he came back, he got like Caverns 119 and other. I think he got one or two other PRs, and that's what.
Oh yeah, that's right. He barely was on the podium. He just passed Boss, and it was just before Mark passed Boss and him.
Yep.
Got it.
All right, guys. So stay a little longer on the whole Twitch thing going on in the Elite right now. How is it even possible to make a guess on how strong it will have an influence on the new people or older people from the Elite and who started streaming? Will it actually add, or will people gain a lot of more votes from it? What do you guys think?
I have a really hard time seeing it not have an influence, because like, it's everything in speedrunning right now. Like, speedrunning is becoming huge in the gaming community as a whole, and it's because of streaming.
And it has helped me get to know the Euros a lot better. And I feel like I've developed stronger friendships with a lot of Eliters. Like, I obviously don't have the viewer count that Goose does, but the people who do watch me are usually the people I talk to a lot from the Elite. I think it, you know, a lot of people have face cam now and interact with their viewers. And I think it gives people a whole new sense of who the streamer is. And if you have a good enough personality and you're funny, I think it has to help you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's going to help a lot of people. That's for sure. But don't count out the fact that there's still a very large group of people that still doesn't have any involvement in Twitch or whatsoever, but they still vote.
Well, that's true. You know, I look at my first match this year, and it could be against either Theoredel or Wotas. And I think against Wotas, I probably match up well in this community because, you know, I stream and more leaders watch me than him, and I'm a higher rank than him. But if I end up matching against Theoredel, I don't know how well I'm going to match up, because he, you know, his friends in the community are the complete opposite ones of mine. They're the ones who don't care about the gaming aspect. They're the ones who don't watch Twitch. They're the ones who don't even know what the world records are. I mean, mind you, they're the ones who are also the moderators and admin of the site. But there are indeed a lot of people who don't care about anything GoldenEye Perfect Dark related, and you know, they probably won't vote with the Twitch streamers.
Yeah, I mean, so speaking of people in the play, and that was one of the questions that I kind of had coming into this, is just looking at, since we do have so many more people who are in the play-in rounds, just looking at this group, what do people, or who do people see as sort of the strongest contestant in play-in round? Like, who's going to come out of the play-ins as kind of the most likely person to make noise? We can start with Jimbo. What do you think about that?
My guess is completely wrong, but if I had to pick, I would put my money on Jones, only because of Twitch. He streams a lot and he talks a lot, and he's, you know, as much of a hard ass as he is sometimes. I can ask him anything about card, and I can ask him to play anything, and he will. And he will coach me through everything. And he's really friendly and probably has the most exposure of all these guys. No offense to Steve, I think he knows, but I think Jones is probably going to move on from that. And he's going to be up against a powerhouse in Mark, who might get a bunch of anti-votes in that match. So Jones has potential.
If you look at the Neo-Luke matchup, that's, to me, way more interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say Neo has a great shot of beating Luke and maybe even his quarter of the bracket, maybe even making a run to the final. I think Neo is a big dark horse there.
I think the most likely for me would be Glenn. He was a one seed last year, and his match is today against Comet, but he goes up against Ace next year, and like you said earlier, Ace has lost some of these matches before to Neo, and like, Glenn was a huge favorite last year, so it'll be interesting to see how many of those votes he still keeps.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think that if you just look at them on their own and not necessarily who they're matched up against, I think that Glenn might be one of the strongest of the play-ins, but he is matched up against Ace, who I think is kind of poised to make a very deep run in the contest this year. So he's kind of got his work cut out for him, assuming he can make it out of the play-in round against Comet. I also think that going back to Jones versus Nkosi potentially, I think just because of the whole Ultimate Truth stuff and all this weird stuff that's been going on with Mark lately, I mean, there's maybe potential for an upset there, although I don't know if I necessarily see it happening.
Yeah, and then we also have the Nate Alec play-in match. Obviously, Nate is the big favorite here. Well, yeah, sure, but how would that be with when he takes it up against Carl?
Carl came to Virginia last year. I'll make this quick. Sorry, and he won everybody over. He was the coolest new guy ever. And his recent podcast that he did just a couple of weeks ago, everyone loves the guy. He's got a natural personality that wins over the crowd, and Carl is going to absolutely stomp whoever wins that play-in. Like, whoever wins that's not even going to get 5 votes.
I was going to say the same thing as Jimbo. You know, normally you'd think Nate would get a lot of the votes from the Virginia meet, but since Carl went there last year and obviously everybody loved him, I don't think that it's going to be even close at all.
Well, we might as well move on to the point where we put our money on who's going to win the whole damn thing. Let's start with Calm.
Yeah, my finals, I actually have Carl over Ace in the final matchup. And I think it's just a lot because of Carl being at Virginia, being on that podcast, streaming, coming back to GoldenEye, you know. And it would kind of be like a lifetime achievement award for him. You know, he's been around the Elite longer than pretty much anybody. So I think Carl's going to run through a lot of these matchups pretty easily.
I think how far Carl ends up going is going to depend quite a lot on how active he ends up being around the boards and whatnot during the actual contest season, because he's been a bit quiet in terms of activity lately. As from what I've seen, he hasn't been too active on the boards recently, so that could hurt him a little bit. I still think that he will make it out of his division as the winner there. Depending on his activity, he might have a tough time against whoever comes out of the Jimbo and Goose division. In terms of predictions, I think I had all the number one seeds winning their divisions, and I think I also had Ace coming out on top in the end. So Ace is my pick.
But I do think we can all agree to the fact that the right side of the draw, including Carl, Inky, Goose, Jimbo, is the most competitive side of the draw. What do you guys think?
Well, I think one thing you have to realize is that with the smaller bracket, it means that the guys who are 2 seeds this year would have been 1 seeds in any other year, because there would be 8 1-seeds. And the past 3 years, the finals have been a match of 2 1-seeds. So I'd say, you know, the best bet is that the finals, you're looking at 1s and 2 seeds for guys who are going to make it to the finals. And I think there's a lot going for all of these 8 players. That would be Luke, Carl, DK, Mark, Alex, myself, Ace, and Jimbo. You know, I think we might be underestimating Alex. A lot of, you know, 50,000 people watched him at AGDQ. That's a lot of people. And a lot of people admire that contribution towards the community. I hate to say it, but I'd say the 2 weakest of those top seeds are Luke and Mark, just because they just haven't maybe been around as long, and, you know, the Virginia and chat votes might be missing there.
Yeah, they draw from small voting blocks compared to people like Carl, Jimbo, or...
I really think the 2 most dangerous people are Ace and Jimbo, because they're both, you know, Jimbo has been everywhere. Jimbo brings together both communities, both the gaming and the social aspect. He's been to Virginia, he's been to the meets, he hangs out with the people in chat, but he also has one of the best streams on the Elite. So I really think this could be Jimbo's year.
Yeah, it's true. I think Jimbo is going to win this year as well. There you go, Jimbo. It's true what Goose said, because I think Jimbo draws from every inch, every corner of the Elite. It already got him far many years, and I think the way the draw has opened up this year with all the new faces and people who can't compete because they've already won, I think Jimbo is going to take this one home this year.
I appreciate the compliments, but I have to stick with the trend that the better player is going to end up winning. I, in my own bracket, have Ace winning over me, but even me getting to the finals is going to be a stretch, because Carl might be a super popular powerhouse at that point. Losing to Clemens last year has me believing that whoever the better player is going to end up winning whatever showdown there is, and that's why Ace, being indisputably the best player in the world, is going to, I think Ace, I sincerely believe he's going to win this year and turn it around.
If the better player is going to win, does that mean that Goose is going to beat you, Jim?
I can see it happening. I wouldn't be horribly surprised, because his Twitch is better than mine with more viewers, and he is significantly more skilled at the game that I'm good at. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. I'd be okay with it.
if you want to beat Ace Jimbo, you just have to turn on your stream, get everyone to say wowzers and me trousers, and get Bunker 2 Double Agent 54.
I'll probably end up streaming again closer to, you know, depending on how far I make it this year. I had promised I was going to take a vacation, so to speak, from streaming until Virginia, at least, to try to catch up on some schoolwork and things like that. But if it comes crunch time, yeah, I'm going to fire up the stream for political reasons, and we'll see what I can do to draw some popularity there again. Start a trend or something.
Hashtag stream for votes.
Yep. Actually, I don't know if this is relevant to talk about, since we just went for like the strongest play-in guys to the, you know, your predictions on winners, but I'd like to mention some of the middle seeds, if anyone else has a chance. I know Goose had mentioned he doesn't think anyone not a one or a two is going to make the finals or the semifinals, but does Axel Z have a shot? Does Fanny have a shot? I know he's kind of fallen from grace. Softy, people might love him for his contributions. YE, some retroactively applied respect there for the rankings, even though he's kind of disappeared. Lockwood, even he's actually kind of disappeared. Adam Bozon, Silo DLTK Master. And then I guess
yeah,
finally,
with the most ridiculous video of all time. That thing yeah. was that thing was filmed with a can of beer.
Seriously.
And the most troll thing is that Cosmo tweeted it, so like 100 million people have watched it now.
Wow. How can you achieve something of that magnitude and record it with a ridiculous webcam? I know certain people play just for the achievement of it and they don't care, but how can you not care about the proof and the ability to see it back in the best available quality? I can't grasp it, you know, it's too weird for me.
From what he said, it was to avoid any possible accusation of cheating, because it's...
Yeah, I think that the discussion is not about whether his run is fake or not, because we all know that it isn't.
It's the fact that it's one of the greatest gaming achievements in the past forever. Ever in all of gaming history, and we have better footage of the 1969 lunar landing 250,000 kilometers away.
But the moon landing was probably fake.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I was kind of wondering about going into this, is seeing Bozon at a 5 seed and whether or not, you know, getting that ridiculously good accomplishment would, you know, get him votes in the contest this year. And he's up against Lockwood, who, like you guys said, has kind of disappeared for the past couple months after having a pretty good bout of activity and streaming Silo kind of relentlessly, but he's sort of fallen off the map at this point. So it'll be interesting to
see. Is Lockwood in rehab or something?
From all the 200 hours, the 200 hours of Silo Agent? Lockwood, we were asking if he had disappeared because of his insanity that came up from playing like 200 hours of Silo Agent.
Why, he actually fell asleep once during the stream.
Yeah.
His stream on for hours and hours, he was just sleeping.
Yeah, and the funny thing is he looks like the resident sleeper emoticon on Twitch, which is my theory, is that he didn't disappear at all, he just fell asleep. Someone's got to go down to Key West asleep. And wake him up.
Someone's got to get to the southern tip of Florida and drive another 3 hours over islands to get to his house and wake him up.
Yeah, and then also there is a possible interesting matchup in the second round, which could be the hosts of this show against each other.
It's like Mork and Mindy.
It's like the scene from American Beauty.
Crikey O'Blimey. No, but honestly, guys, I honestly believe that DK is gonna take the whole block. I think he's going to win against Luke, actually. I think DK draws from too many blocks to be threatened by Luke. That's my view.
Well, I think that it kind of depends on just how strong the active GoldenEye block is this year, and I think it could be stronger this year than any other recent year, because usually when we talk about the contests, at least the past couple years, it's always been chat room versus GoldenEye. Those are the two big blocks. Those are the two voting groups that you want to try to draw very strongly from in order to be successful. If you can get a lot of votes from either one of those, then you have a good chance. I think I'll still get a lot of chat votes, but I don't know how strong chat's going to be this year.
Yeah, Luke and DK probably draw from exact polar opposites from all the voter blocks, and good lord, that's just a coin flip. I think GoldenEye act, like the active GoldenEye block, that's what I meant to say, is probably going to be the largest block this year, and that's why I would give Luke the slight advantage, plus he's super popular.
Well, yeah, I agree that the GoldenEye block is gonna be the biggest block of this year. In past years, chat room used to be a huge factor on whether you make a deep run in the contest or not. I don't think that's the case any longer. I think those times are over now.
Yep, Twitch, I agree.
Twitch chat and GoldenEye, if you got those, you're okay. Any more and it's bonus.
DK, I'm giving you the floor to close off this amazing first episode of our brand new show for this season's summer contest. Go ahead.
All right.
We need to end the stream with a good, like, joke.
How about this? Kara, hey man, what kind of pizzas did the interns order at the World Trade Center on September 11th?
I don't know.
Two large planes.
Wowzers in me trousers.
Smack me! He's having a go!
Mother Hubbard, look at all those jumpers.
And they all scutter off for a death.
Okay, guys, that just about wraps up our first DK and Car Show of the 2013 Summer Contest Series. And for all of us here at the show, I'm DK, and we will see all of you guys next time.
The DK and Kara Show!
Mother Hubbard, what a closing!